Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us today, this evening, is state senator, former state representative, a colleague of mine, Renee Erickson. Renee, how are you today? Do we have Renee with us? Renee?
Yes.
Are you
I'm
with
here.
Us? Oh, just some technical difficulties here in the studio. You can't trust Sean Whitmer to have everything up and going the right way now, can you?
No, it's great to be with you, Nick.
I'm not even gonna go there. I'm not gonna
go. Easter Sunday jitters. Renee, how are you this evening?
I'm great. Happy Easter to everyone.
Happy Easter to you and Roger and the family as well. We appreciate you jumping on the show tonight. Kind of an informal conversation here between a House rep and a state senator. Obviously, last week we had the tax bill we passed out of the House, sent over to the Senate. And I got the impression that the Senate would rather go to conference committee, kind of conference with us, enter into negotiations on this tax package. Is that kind of the feeling you're getting as well?
Yeah, I think that's accurate, Nick. And I know that there's been a lot of talk about why the president did what he did and declared it materially altered. But watching what happened on the Senate floor last week, from my perspective, I really think it might have been a move to keep some of the shenanigans that were happening in the Senate from happening with the tax bill. We had senators trying to pull up stuff all week long. And so I really think it was just a way to fend off some of those shenanigans and games on the floor of the Senate so that we can negotiate in good faith with the House.
Yeah, and that's definitely appreciated. I know you guys in the Senate have a few, we'll call them troublemakers. We have a few in the House as well that like to cause trouble. And unfortunately, some of these are our friends. You know, they were elected as conservatives, but in practice, they go up there and they law bombs, and they're nothing but troublemakers. It's baffling why they're there in the first place. Can you explain to, I guess, the listeners kind of how a conference committee works, what it entails? I know you as the chair of the Senate Commerce Committee will be having a handful of conference committees of your own that you'll be negotiating your position with. Can you kind of explain to listeners how conference committees work?
Yeah, it's a very interesting process. I'm chair of commerce, and then I'm vice chair of two committees on the Senate side. So I have a lot of conference committees I have to go to this time of year, which is a lot of fun that keeps me busy. But what basically happens is once a bill passes either chamber, we like for them to be vetted in both chambers to establish both a Senate and a House position. And then what we do is if there are differences amongst those bills, then the respective committees, the chair, the vice chair, and the ranking minority member from both the House and the Senate get together, and we basically hash out the differences and compromise and come to an agreement. And then whatever comes out in a conference committee report is voted on either up or down then across the chamber floor. So yeah, that's a really short, abbreviated version of what happens. But these can go on. I mean, you can go back and forth for days on hashing it out. And I think the tax conference committee could be a very interesting negotiation process for people to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to point out with that, as you said, language that has passed one chamber is conferenceable. So all the tax language that both chambers have passed in the last 2 years are all conferenceable in tax committee. So really anything that we've passed out of one chamber or the other can be in our tax plan that hopefully we get an agreement on through conference committee. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a great point, Nick. You know, last year, the Senate passed a 4.75 single rate plan. Technically, since it's passed one chamber, that could be brought to conference committee. I don't think that will happen by any stretch of the imagination. But you're correct. Anything that's passed either chamber could be brought into the conference.
Now, you alluded to how busy you're going to be this week, especially as chair of the Senate Commerce Committee. One bill we passed last week that I believe you guys will be conferencing on is our child care bill. Now, you guys haven't really passed one on the Senate side and established the position, but I know you've had a lot of interesting discussions. I believe you were vice chair last year of the interim committee on child care. Is that correct?
Yes, and we had an interim this fall and came out with a list of recommendations, which really was kind of the impetus for the bill that you all passed on the House side. And so very familiar with the content and with the position of the House, and looking forward to hopefully coming out with some meaningful child care reforms that help our businesses, help our parents, because we know that not just Kansas, but child care is a crisis in a lot of states, just lack of accessibility and affordability. So hopefully we'll come out with some good reforms that help on that front.
Yeah, and I know last year we did pass some what I'd consider good reforms. They made it to the governor's desk and unfortunately did not survive a veto. We're talking to State Senator Renee Erickson. Renee, one last question. Last week there was a hearing of sorts on the Fed and State Committee you serve on in regard to medical marijuana. There was a medical marijuana bill that was proposed at the end of session. You guys held a hearing on it last week. Can you kind of talk about what was in this bill? And it was tabled, so the reasoning for the motion to table.
Sure. Real quick, it was Senate Bill 555. If anyone wants to look at the contents of that, it was introduced in the Senate the last week that committees were to meet. So it was very late in getting in the process. But Friday, Chair Mike Thompson of Fed and State did have a hearing on that. And what it basically boiled down to is law enforcement, even marijuana proponents were against this because it limited it to four distributors of marijuana, and they thought it was monopolistic, basically. But there are vast concerns over the way this bill was structured. There's so many unanswered questions, and we certainly don't want to do anything that would lead to what's going on in Colorado or Oklahoma. We've seen those disasters. Tony Mativi did a fabulous job of testifying as the director of KBI, and law enforcement was there, and so really felt like this was not the bill that would go any further. So it was tabled until January of 2025.
Yeah, I appreciate that breakdown, Renee. And as somebody that's kind of on the other side of the issue, I am a proponent of medical marijuana. I have heard from other folks who are proponents of medical marijuana that this was not the bill and this was problematic to them even. So I do appreciate the fact that a hearing was held, but it sounds like, definitely something that was not ready for prime time, so to say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Nick. Absolutely. So not a lot of support, even from those, like you said, that are proponents of medical marijuana in general. So not the bill, and we'll see what happens next session. But, it was tabled until January.
Got it. Renee, one last question here. Are you excited to host the John Whitmer Show next week?
I love it. It is so much fun. And I don't know if people enjoy me hosting,
Renee,
but I sure
just,
do enjoy
just hosting. Ignore him, Renee. He's smoking marijuana as we're sitting here in the studio.
John, so you just, handed you know, it to me as I walked in.
Just ignore him. He's,
you said we were going to be the Doobie Brothers tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. We're having way too much. By the way, Renee, happy Trans Appreciation Day to you. I wanted to make sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a lovely little surprise from the president. Not surprising, really, but just sad. Just sad.
Renee, were you like me and confused that and thought he was talking about transport, being pro-transportation?
You're just
no, not at all, because I know John.
Love you, by the way. Thank you for coming on.
Renee, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us and filling in tonight. Again, I hope you and Roger and the family had a great and blessed Easter, and we look forward to seeing you next week. And hopefully we get some compromises between the House and the Senate, and we can get some good reforms into law. And if we need to, we're ready to override any vetoes the governor throws at us.
That's right. I'm confident we will. So thanks so much. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.